Everyone, welcome to the late summer program 2018 orientation kickoff call. Dana and Brent here. Welcome, everyone. This is number 16, Dana. 16, is that real?
Can't believe it. Can't believe it. We keep
That's
going around.
Right there.
That's right. Well, because it's so good. And we have so much fun in these, so we're going to keep
That's
doing
right.
it. And, you know, the thing we mentioned before is what's amazing is how repeat members come back, because the beautiful thing about these programs is it's always a new season, so we can revisit it even a year later, and it's appropriate. So here we are, late summer. Love this one. Love this one so much. However, summer here in, really comes in Northern California around this time, but it's been a little dodgy. So we're going to talk about some of that today, on how to eat fruit, cooling foods, cleansing, hydrating foods, and ways to not get too cold, and when it's appropriate to eat them, and why it's important to eat these foods. Hello, Mark Weil, our Lyme Less with More faculty. How are you today?
I'm fine. Hi, Dana. Hi, Brent. I'm doing really good. I think it's a warm day, but, you know, I run warm, so
well,
I'm not going to
ask. I want to say, it's been cold, and now here comes the summer, just starting to show up. I know.
Okay.
Brent's, like, rolling his eyes, like, okay.
Louisiana is always hot.
Always hot.
All summer. It's going to cool off soon, but we're enjoying it.
I think I would love that. So, welcome everyone on this call. Thank you for joining us from wherever you are. And if you are listening to the recording, welcome. So today, I think this call is going to be pretty short. I know everyone has a lot to do on a Saturday. So we're going to go over some of the session, what to expect in the summer session for those of you that are already inside. And those of you that haven't joined, if you want to know more. And then we're going to look at cleansing with lime. What does it mean? How to do it appropriately? Also talk more about the fruit and raw foods. And then we're going to talk about resilience. What does it mean to be resilient? How do we become more resilient in life and with this illness and getting through the healing process? So, let's start this. Oh, and you've written in some questions. Great. Fantastic. Thank you. We'll get to those. And then if you have a burning question and you want to talk to any of us and ask Mark a question, he's right here for you. This is a great time to do it. So you can be thinking of your question during the call. Okay. So some of this will be a review. But again, you know, Mark, you've had to tell me things 500 times before they sink in. And I think it's important that we go over some of our cleansing principles. And one of the things you always drive home, Mark, is to not go too fast. Meaning don't go, if you are someone that is very toxic, has been ill for a long time, and you get gung-ho, I'm going to cleanse all this stuff out, that can be counterproductive. So let's talk about what's required to cleanse the toxins out of your body, namely strong enough organs. So let's talk some more about that.
Well, the one thing that's true is that we're all unique, and even if we're using, you know, Vata, Pitta, Kapha, or you know, mesomorph, ectomorph, endomorph, whatever system we're using, is each person's gone through their own history. And so more than anything, I want people to respect and listen to their body, because I have people all the time that have seen lots of people, and they say people don't take it seriously when I tell them I'm very sensitive. And these are not all people that have Lyme, and you have to start slow with me, because if you start hard, I'm going to crash. And I think that everyone listening to this call knows how sensitive they are. They know when they can't handle a smell. They know when they've tried to push it too hard. And really what you're doing is listening, and if your liver or your kidneys or your lymph are not working as well as they could, you don't want to add more waste to the system that's already overloaded. And if you have Lyme, by definition, you did get overloaded. So I want to respect that. I want you to respect that. I want you as a patient and as an advocate for yourself to know, you know what, I'm not supposed to go at any other rate than what my body can handle, the download, the detox, the excrement from. And if you exceed that, you will know by your symptoms. And then you can learn to respect your own body's boundaries.
That's right. That's finding that balance. Yeah, no, that's great. And then hopefully people that have joined us have gone over the cleansing principles videos and looking at why it's so important, for example, to not get too cold or too hot is something we talk about a lot. And I want to just go back to, because this is something I wanted to touch on here. Like you said there, Mark, we are all different types. You know, there's the Ayurvedic dosha types where there's the Vata, Pitta, and Kapha. A Vata is someone that is typically thin, runs cool, and has dry skin, is an airy kind of personality. A Pitta is someone that's more muscular, high metabolism, runs hot. A Kapha is a bigger person, grounded, calm, but has more weight. So really interesting because there's benefits to each one of those, right?
Mm-hmm.
Correct. The Vata person is airy and sensitive to everything. And there's gifts there, but they have to know how to balance themselves, right? I tend to be a Vata, just sort of like, woo, really sensitive. And then the Pitta is a strong, fast metabolism type person that can handle more, but they have to not get too hot. And then the Kapha, mm-hmm. right, the same. They need to be careful not to get too sluggish. So it's really interesting that we all have strengths and weaknesses. And the statement I want to make is, you know, Lyme and co-infections, et cetera, toxicity is going to manifest differently in each one of our bodies because we have these different strengths and weaknesses. For example, someone that has a really hardy constitution, we say that word a lot, they have a strong constitution, will be able to push treatment and cleansing harder because their uh-huh. organs are stronger. And it's really interesting. I've learned some more about the Kapha person is sort of a heavier constitution, but their organs tend to be stronger because they have more tissue. Now that's, Mark, that depends, right, on how long they've been sick. But
correct.
We're all different in how much we can take. And so I think that's helpful for us in the community not to judge one another because some people can handle treatments. Let's say someone that's stronger constitution can handle antibiotics and the die-off, while another uh-huh. wouldn't even be able to come close to that. So I think that's a really important distinction, and that's for you, the individual, to figure out. And I love, Mark, that you're always telling people not to exceed their metabolic threshold. You know, maybe I should tell this story about I was given, you were away, Mark, I saw a acupuncturist who put me on high doses of St. John's wort for Epstein-Barr, and I was feeling fantastic for the first 3 days. And then I got internal burning, like basically an internal sunburn because the dose was double what anybody should be taking, and I'm a super sensitive. So it sent me backwards, right? So I had to heal mm-hmm. what the treatment just did. So it's like, wait a second. I was moving forward, but then I went too far. Someone with a stronger constitution may not have had that same experience. So treatments are always, always customized, always based on the individual. You can't just say, oh, I'm taking... I don't know, what's the hot thing right now? Mimosa pudica, whatever. It's great, but everybody has to titrating to their body. So one of the things we talk about too, Mark, is the colon as the first thing that you want to get optimized. And can we just talk about why really quickly, because this is a review for a lot of people, but why would you want to optimize the colon cleansing first?
Well, the obvious reason is that most people that are listening to this call have some level of toxicity, otherwise they wouldn't be having a difficult time. And the best place to clear the toxicity is out of the colon. And when the colon is working more effectively, then you get more nutrients out of your food and out of your supplements or anything else you're doing. So a lot of people are dealing with severe energy problems, a lot of pain, you know, brain fog, and you need as much energy as you can out of your food. And if your colon is basically holding on to stuff it shouldn't hold on to, and you're eating, I have a lot of people that are eating perfectly, and they're saying, I don't digest well, I bloat, I feel terrible when I eat. Sometimes they feel better if I just don't eat, you know, and I'm going, okay, we need you to get nutrients out of your food. You can't spend all your money on good food or good treatments and not absorb well. So if you're going to start doing any kind of cleansing with this late summer program, then all that waste is going to end up in a clogged colon, and now you're going to have more circulating waste. So it came from all the cells throughout all your body, and now it's all ending up in the colon, and the colon can't get rid of it fast enough. And now you're going to overload. And when you overload, most of these people know exactly what happens. And obviously the other part we're not addressing is the fact that the lymph all drains into the colon. And the GALT, gut-associated lymphoid tissue, is going to really clear a lot of the waste you're having in other parts of your body. So you better clear the bottom of the drain before you try and add anything else to it.
Bottom of the drain being the colon. Okay, so you said, you talked about absorption. We don't usually think of the colon as the highest level absorption of nutrients. It's the small intestine. But you're saying, Mark, when your colon is backed up, it starts backing up into the small intestine. You start seeing SIBO. Klinghart said the same thing to me. It's the backup of the large intestine getting into the small intestine, the valves open. So absorption from the small intestine all the way down the colon is based on getting that, go ahead, the colon
correct.
Clean. Right.
And the electrolytes that are going to get reabsorbed to the colon or through the large intestine are really important because, as you know, Dana, a lot of times I've corrected some things in you with just bringing your minerals up, bringing your electrolytes up.
That's right. And, of course, the B, yeah, there's a lot that goes on in the large intestine, but I just want I could just hear people talking about SIBO and all that stuff. I mean, it's all related. So, like, I love that visual of clearing the drain first. So then we move on to the what we feel is the most important system in the body to get well and get healed is the lymph system, and that's what we focus on. It's always in our programs, but we focus on it a lot right now. To clear, let's talk a little bit about the lymph system, quick, broad overview.
Okay.
Why is it so important? Let's go the other way. If you have a clogged lymph system, what happens?
Okay.
If you're
then
sick?
You'll probably be if we're talking to people that have Lyme, and it's obvious. When the sewer isn't draining, you're going to have circulating waste, circulating pathogens, and the chances are that you're going to reabsorb them. And the most important part about that is, you know, we all have toxicity in our body. So it's not that it's, you know, you need to worry about it. But the weaker parts of your body, since the lymph system moves slowly, whatever the systems are that are weak are probably where it's going to congregate. It's going to coagulate or be more viscous, and it's going to get caught in those places. So if you happen to have liver or kidney problems or you have whatever you have, that waste is going to end up back in that same place again, and then you'll keep saying, oh, I keep having this pain. I would tell people, any place in your body where there's pain, you probably have lymph stasis or congestion. And so if you get recurring pain, then you can look at that and say, okay, how can I open that area? What can I do to get rid of it? And obviously the bottom of the drain, the GALT, gut-associated lymphoid tissue, has to be open, and then we can figure out whatever tools are effective for you to clear that. Because I would tell you that when people are dealing with chronic pain and clearly they're in fight or flight, now their immune system is down. When their immune system is down, obviously the lymph system doesn't work as well. So I really don't like people to stay in chronic pain because it will set off a cascade that can push them backwards very quickly.
So we touched on, hopefully some of you have seen the video Cleansing Lymph in the Late Summer, and How to Move the Lymph are two videos with Mark. There's many ways to get the lymph. There's herbs for sure, but movement and hydration are pretty key, right?
I think they're essential.
They're essential. So I want to move on. Like, I hope everybody saw that. We don't need to touch too much on that, but people do know that the lymph system doesn't have its own pump. It's pumped by movement in your body. And you want to talk a little bit about that, Mark, just quickly?
Sure. Yeah. The movement has to be non-traumatic for you. And obviously we're talking to people that have a lot of pain. So any kind of movement that you find easy and that you can do. So that means even if you're having trouble being upright, you can do some gentle movement in bed, you can do it seated, and then obviously if you can be ambulatory and you can move around, that's even better. And I think in that video, don't we also have us doing a little bit of dancing, just because I also like people to have fun. I don't really want people to think of everything as a chore. So whatever music you like, whatever music makes you feel happy and puts a happy smile on your face, your oxytocin goes up. When your oxytocin goes up, your immune system turns on. And when your immune system turns on, then the lymph will work better. So easy, gentle movement. Again, I'm recommending music. I'm recommending you don't have to know how to formally dance. All you have to do is be able to move in your body. And I have actually been in Zumba classes where we do it in the chair because some people can't be on their feet. And you can move quite nicely and enjoy yourself seated in a chair. So just move your upper body the little bit you can move it. Never feel like you have to perform for anyone.
Mm-hmm. And also, sitting in a chair, you just move your toe hinges, and that starts it, right? That's the whole pump right
correct.
There.
Yeah, and since we get about
wiggle
80%
your toes.
Of our
there
pump,
you go. That's it.
Yeah. If you just go up and down on your toes, so lift your heel. And just do it so you could actually make your foot move to the beat of some music. And again, I think we need auditory, visual, and kinesthetic, so it's not just a chore that you're sitting there and pumping your foot. You know, if you have some music and you can get a rhythm going, we know that a lot of things with certain kinds of sounds make a difference. That's why I use tuning forks to try and show people that there can be frequencies that make them feel really good. So music is a great way to find the frequencies that you love. Only do the stuff you love.
Yeah, that's it. And it puts you into that flow state, right? It's back to what works
correct.
For you. And I always feel like lymph is associated with the flow in your life, right? Because a stressful, stuck life, everything starts backing up, literally backing up, right? The stress hormones make you back up. You know, the waist gets stuck. It's finding that rhythm. I love how you said that, finding that rhythm and that flow and just doing the little things. We're always talking about just doing the little things. You know, even one little thing a day is so profound. So we're already at almost noon. So I want to talk a little bit about something we talk about a lot in this program is fruit. Everybody's so afraid of fruit. And I was one of those people for a long time, and I'm really, over the last, 5 years, really have brought fruit back into my life, and it's been such a game changer. And in this program, we interview Dr. Robert Morse, who can be quite controversial, but he uses fruit as a way to detox the lymph system because it's very astringent. Astringent means it contracts the tissue, so it's starting to push all that garbage out of the lymph. Now, Mark, we can see where you can go too fast with that, right?
Correct.
Dr. Morse jumps in with, like, in some cases, an all-fruit diet, and he supports the body with herbs. Now, we wouldn't recommend doing that unless you're under his care or someone like that. But it's just a way to demonstrate the power of fruit. I mean, let's just talk about fruit for a second. Fruit is very astringent, very cleansing. It's filled with structured water. Structured water is the water we can actually absorb into our cells. It's supremely hydrating. It's high in potassium, so it's very cleansing. It's high in antioxidants, phytochemicals, and it's really, really rich in enzymes, right? Because we mostly eat fruit raw. So it's such an important it's such an important part of our diets, but we have to know how to do it because it's so strong, right? Uh-huh. I use the example. I did a whole week of mostly fruit until the evening, where I had a salad and a little bit of some kind of protein, and the pain levels in my body went down to just nothing, like a 2. It was amazing. But I ended up getting a kidney infection because my kidneys weren't ready for all the waste coming out. So it works, but you have to make sure your organs are strong enough to handle the move out of the garbage. So, so there's that. And so, Mark, I want to talk a little bit about why it's important to eat fruit this time of year, the hottest part of summer, but also right now before the heat leaves us. Why is it important to be warm enough when you eat fruit? Let's talk about the cooling effects of fruit.
Well, the advantage of fruit, obviously, is that, and we're talking about mostly the summer fruits, obviously. The stone fruits and the summer fruits are the things that will take the heat down for everyone. And if you go travel to a tropical environment, you know, even in the winter, you'll notice that those fruits taste really good to you because if it's a very warm place, it doesn't matter the time of year, it matters if what the temperature is. And since we have people from all over the world, some people can have fruit because their climate is adapting to, they're adapting to their climate. So fruit gives you the possibility to respond to the seasons really effectively. And this time of year, generally it's really good to eat those kinds of things because they will really wash out the body in a very, very helpful way. And as Dana said, support the organs that are going to do the elimination, support the lymph, support the kidney, support the liver, support the skin, so that you don't feel like you're overloaded. And since hot and cold are a really important part, why is cold really important? When anyone gets cold, for them, doesn't matter the time of year, then what they're going to do is they're going to set off a cascade that's going to push their fight or flight mechanism, and it's going to push their immune system in the wrong direction. And obviously, most people, when they're cold, spend a lot of their calories just trying to get back to homeostasis, get back to a comfortable level. Because you know, everyone knows, and Dana, you particularly, I know you've gone through a lot with being cold, even when other people aren't. And you know how it crashes you or it crashes anyone. So I really want people to choose their fruits, choose the time of day, choose how they're feeling. So sometimes you would be better off with the fruit. Like right now, it's sort of warm and it's the middle of the day. And that may be the only time that for some of you people listening, you can comfortably have fruit. You should probably never have it at night when it's cool. I can get away with that, but I'm a different body type and I've also been working on my body for 40 years. So, you know, everyone has to choose what will work for their body, but we're talking to people that are under a lot of challenges. So your fruit probably should be only warm time of day, and when you are warm and comfortable. And you choose the amounts that are appropriate for you.
Right, right, right. Well, ultimately, if you are a healthy person and you are able to regulate body temperature, fruit in the morning is truly the best because you've been laying all night, you've become acidic. Fruit is so hydrating, so cleansing. That's ideal. But to your point, Mark, that certainly doesn't happen to me. I wake up freezing cold. I like something warm in the morning. I'm just going to reiterate. So in the hottest part of the day where you are the warmest is the best time to have your juicy fruits, cleansing fruits. Also because the fruits are yin, cooling, right? The sun is very yang, hot. So it's almost like if you're someone that runs cold, you have that support of the sun. Right, you have the support externally. You don't have the thermostat inside you, but you have the thermostat outside. The sun is supporting your body. Am I making sense there? So
yeah.
It's amazing to me, you know, a piece of watermelon, I don't know what other fruit I had the other day, and my hands went totally cold. And it wasn't appropriate. I ate it, and I was running around. But eating a piece of watermelon when you're warm in the middle of the day, brilliant. So I want to talk about
I want to add something, because I'm a pitta, and one of the things that I've been dealing with for years, I used to be really cold when I was sick when I was younger, and wore long underwear even in my 20s. And people would just could not believe it. But I was like you are now, Dana, and I changed it. And now I've been a lot warmer. Of course, I changed my diet radically and did a lot of things. I got myself to a place where I was too warm. And it was like a lot of pittas where even when I danced, I would be really sweaty. And I made some major changes in about the last year. And I've just changed some of the fruit that I'm using. That's all I'm doing. And now I never overheat anymore, which is really nice. So for someone like me that was overheating for the last number of years, now my thermal regulation is so much better. And I just had to shift the fruits that work for my body. And I have them every day. And I literally can do a 3-hour Zumba jam, and I am not drenched like I used to be. And sometimes I get so hot, I'd actually have to pause and stand in front of a fan. And now I feel like a normal person, which is so nice by making the fruit work for my body.
Perfect. And that fruit usually changes in the time of year and all that too.
Of course.
What fruits are available. You know, that's the
in
other
season,
reason.
Always.
Yeah, and that's the other reason we really focus on, again, in this program, we don't tell you eat fruits. There's plenty of options and smoothies and things, but there's also ways to do the same hydrating cleansing without fruit, and I'll get to that. But yeah, the summer and late summer is such a beautiful time of year for fruits. I mean, midsummer is fantastic for the juicy fruits, but now we're coming into, it's figs, you know, fresh figs, apples are coming, grapes. We still have the summer fruits available. So this is just a good time for a huge bounty of fruits, just to get them in every day. And I do want to say, if someone is absolutely cannot do fruit, they're too cold, cooking some apples is beautiful. Applesauce I lived off that for a while, and that has incredible benefits for your gut and your cleansing. So I know a lot of people get really upset about fruit because they've been on a track, you know, let's say on a candida diet, and I've been told no fruit ever, ever, ever. I just want to say I've met a lot of people in all this time I've been doing this work that have been on, let's say, a candida diet, no fruit for 10 years, and they still have candida, right? Or they do it for blood sugar reasons, but they still have blood sugar issues. So I always invite people, like, okay, is it fruit? You know, is it the amount of fruit? I also want to talk about how people eat fruit incorrectly. And that's going to go into Mark, our food combining, what we talk about in this program. I think sometimes people pile fruit in bad combinations. Let's say they eat fruit at the end of a meal and their diet. Some people can do that, no problem. They have a fiery gut and they can digest anything. But others that, you know, you eat a meal and you add fruit at the end of it, there are different digestive rates. Let's say you ate a piece of meat and then you throw on some watermelon or something. It's just completely different tracks. So can we talk about what happens if you're a person that has compromised digestion, if you have, let's say, a steak and then you eat, you know, watermelon on top of it?
Well, you're probably, you know, the rate of breakdown for something heavy like steak obviously is a lot longer than something like watermelon. And in most cases, you're going to get fermentation. So if somebody really wants the watermelon, then they probably should have it a good half hour, 45 minutes before. And if you went to Optimal Health Institute, where I send a lot of people, they're going to tell you do it a couple hours before. But since watermelon is mostly water, you know, you could probably do it 45 minutes before if you really need the watermelon for whatever reason, and you're warm, and it is warm. Then, of course, you could do it before. But if you put it on top of it, now you're going to have something it's going to cause fermentation to take place. And almost all the time people will say, oh, I get a lot of gas, I get a lot of bloating, I don't feel very good, my food doesn't digest well. It's like, well, of course, you've got different things with different regulations about how the body can break it down. And you don't
right.
want to combine those at the same time.
And what's so interesting to me, it causes fermentation in the gut. Fermentation, what feeds on fermentation? Candida.
Candida, yes, it
so
does.
It's, so to me, a lot of the issues with candida, et cetera, is the foods that we're not digesting properly, right? So sugars that don't ferment, don't digest properly, ferment. Fats that don't digest properly, rancidify. And proteins that don't digest properly, putrefy. So anything in the body that's gone bad, right, is food for bugs. Candida, actually, Candida is trying to help you clean up some of that stuff. That's a whole other topic. But what we're trying to drive home here is simplifying and getting into more food combining. In this program, we look at that as a way to eat whatever you want, but to simplify your digestion. And I think hopefully everybody has seen our video on food combining, where you know, the basics of it is you don't combine a protein and a starch in the same meal. Now, that's the American diet right there. It's like sandwiches? No. So this is just, again, this is a really great way to cleanse without limiting your food. So, for example, you could eat a protein and vegetables, or you can eat a starch and vegetables, but you don't want to combine those two. And I got to tell you, I always do these programs, and I've been switching up my combining, and it really makes a difference. The bloat's going down in my face. It's amazing. Now, if you're someone that can't lose weight or can't afford to drop any weight at all, any water, you know, add some more fats to your meals. We will talk a lot more about this inside the program. But I just want to drive home that simplifying your foods makes such a big deal. Now, I do these programs, but my way of prepping for the program is to eat fun food. So I always do this. Right before the program, I literally had tacos. I had bread. I had pizza. Just going for it. Brent and I went to a seminar. We had fun. We ate whatever we wanted. I know, Brent, you've been eating more bready stuff. Like, so it's time. And Brent, actually, you said that you've been eating more gluten and just going for it, and you've stopped for the last few days, and now you're feeling like you have a cold, which
yeah.
is really interesting.
Yeah.
So,
true.
Yeah. We always talk about the man cold. But that's something to talk about too, Mark. It's like when you stop eating the bad stuff, your body starts to go into cleanse mode and it feels like a cold or something, but it's actually your body really working through that stuff. So is there anything more? Please.
I would tell people, a lot of times people tell me they have a cold or a flu, and they use those words too generically, and they're not. I understand why they use them. I understand the medical world talks about things that way. But I think what you just said is really vital, that when people have a disease and they start listening to your program and they start understanding they've got to clean things up, they may have a whole bunch of symptoms that start to appear to be a cold or a flu. It's just your lymph system it's believing what you're doing. Your lymph system is saying, oh, you really are going to help me get rid of this stuff. Thank you. Oh, my God, I've been waiting a long time, and you're now taking me seriously. And so guess what? All that stuff starts to eliminate, starts to come out. And if you look at how the lymph system works, and I mean, I know this is on the previous videos, but it's coming up the front and up the back and turning right around the ears, right around the U-joint under the sink, and it's going to come down past the throat. And guess what's going to happen? You're going to have all this waste that's been going through your whole body coming through basically a convoluted pathway, and you're going to say, oh, I'm getting my sore throats again. I'm getting my sinus congestion again. I'm getting my head cold. And really, that's why I love the fact you're focusing on fruit. If people do the appropriate amounts of fruit and the appropriate amount of hydration, they can probably push that through really quickly and, quote unquote, never get a cold. But if they have years of congestion and it gets into a congested place, then it may be harder, and then those old pathogens might start to reoccur. So that's why I tell people, movement, I would be hydrating, movement, doing all of that. You might want to do hot showers to play on the back of your neck if you can stand in a shower. Some people can't. Hot baths if you can do that. But you really want to move that stuff, and then, quote, unquote, you'll never get a cold. And then, of course, you know what I'm going to say, which is, and if you do an enema, then the cold will go away quicker than if you don't. So I'm going to say clean out the bottom of the drain and clean out the top of the drain.
I love that. You know, I'm going to bring up Einhard again here. He said that when he was a kid, he would have like 103 fever, and his mother would say, Dietrich, do an enema. And he said he would just rather sit through the fever. But every time he did the enema, the fever went away. Isn't that funny?
He
grew up with that thinking. Yeah.
I did
really
too. My grandparents had an enema bag on the back of their door, and they were only three blocks from where we were. And every time we go over there, you know, Jewish old grandparents, it's like, did you make? And it's like, you had to say yes, because if you didn't, they put you in the bathroom with the bag.
Dear God.
So we knew.
Oh, dear God.
That eliminating mattered. And it worked. And, you know, then I grew up to be a person that has three videos on enemas on my website. People are like, oh, my
that's
God,
right.
That's all you think about. It's like,
the
no, I just
guy.
Don't want to feel
well,
bad anymore.
Well, because you know what's on the other side of that. Yeah.
I do.
I want to go back to this, the cold flu thing, because I want to make the distinction here that you can produce a cold-like symptoms, flu, whatever, because you are really junked up with stuff. Let's say Brent and I kept on this like party mode and we ate whatever we wanted. You get so junked up that your body forces the cold, where you actually do pick up the bugs, and then your body's forcing the runny nose, and your body's just pushing you to eliminate this stuff. So there's that version of you get pushed into it, and then there's a version of you start detoxing and you get the same symptoms. Is that clear?
That was very clear.
Okay. Yeah. So there's it's better that you choose it. So you have a little control.
I would agree.
So it's 12:11. I'm just going to do a quick overview for those of you that have not joined us yet for the program. We are in our prep week. We just go over some of the videos that we've shared. This week we look at just the foundations of cleansing and all that. This coming week we're going to have Dr. Morse. So you're going to see that very, very long interview with Dr. Morse about fruit and detox. I share a lot of my personal stuff. Brent shares some of his. And just as an example to help you understand your own body. We also have a recording with Mark. What a great call that was about enzymes. Really, really important to know your enzymes inside and out. We have lots of recipes. And then we'll start doing the lymph detox methods, more hydration drinks, the lymph bath, dry skin brushing. Now, in this program, we ask you just to choose one a day or one every few days. So you choose a recipe that's cleansing and a method that's cleansing, one a day. Also, next week, tomorrow we're going to start the Soulful Sunday Contribute to the Endless Summer playlist. This is really, really fun. We all choose a song, our anthem for this year, and we assemble a playlist at the end. It's kind of like your summer yearbook. It's like a fun little takeaway. Really love doing that one. And then weeks 3 and 4, we continue on with the lymph cleansing and recipes and learning more about it. And then 3 and 4 is really awesome. We have a great interview with Seth Lynn, an osteopath that teaches us the anatomy of fight or flight and ways to move out of it. It's really beautiful, Mark. I should have you look at that because I know you two are very aligned in your thinking. And then we have an interview with Michael Vladek, a dear friend of mine, who was diagnosed with 4-stage lymphoma at a young age. He shares this beautiful journey that he went on. He's completely healed of cancer, but he helps us to ask the right questions of ourselves. And one of his statements is, you know, what he came to when he got that diagnosis was, live or die, I need to heal. So what does that mean? So it was really looking at the internal toxic world, right? Where is he emotionally toxic? And he did it. And he's incredibly inspirational. Then we're going to have a huddles call. Don't worry, guys. This is over, 3 weeks. We've got lots of time. We have a huddles call where we get together on a call and we do exercises together. So you get to talk to another cleanse member. And those are always really, really powerful, getting to talk to someone else. We break up into small groups where you get to share with each other. And usually, Brent, it's like we're always feeling bad, like, sorry, guys, I know you're having a good time, but we have to close the call. So that's always been great.
So,
and then
they're
we have
so
Beverly.
Good.
They're so good. Yeah. And then we have Beverly Montgomery, who has been our resident healer, and she does this group meditation, and always people reporting back huge shifts with Beverly, and then especially people that go on to work with her one-on-one. Similarly to you, Mark, that's an option. So we also have Jody Cohen, an interview, really awesome interview about cellular rejuvenation with essential oils. Really a comprehensive look at how to use essential oils and why. Just kind of the why. Everybody talks about essential oils being the greatest thing, but why? So she really demonstrates that beautifully. So that's our program. The doors close tomorrow, although for you on the call, we're probably going to extend those doors, aren't we, Brent? Probably till Wednesday.
Yeah, that's
that
great.
Cool. Hush, hush. Yeah. So let's look at some of these questions here. I think we probably answered a lot of them. Let's see. Mark, you have them in front of you too?
I'm looking at them.
Here we go. My computer here as well. Somebody's asking. Okay, we have 15 minutes here. Somebody's asking, what hope is there for those of us who have had Lyme over 20 years with no treatment for the first 12 due to misdiagnosis? Tons of hope. It doesn't have to mean anything, right, Mark? It's
I don't
a long
think it means
road.
Anything. Yeah.
It's a long road, but your body can regenerate. Go ahead, Mark. What were you going to say?
Well, I think that it doesn't matter. Lots of people have been misdiagnosed, and I would say that a lot of people come in with having symptoms for many, many years, even longer than that, and they weren't diagnosed with Lyme, and they've been proactive for whatever reasons with what they've tried to do, and all they're doing is trying to be more specific since they know that now if they get correctly diagnosed, they're going, okay, instead of doing a generic approach, I'm going to do more specific for Lyme. So I never see hopelessness with that kind of stuff. I only see that people have to, inside decide that they're going to take a direction and do it and get the appropriate support. That's all. And I would encourage people that, remember, there's many tests for Lyme and most of the regular medical tests don't show it. So you don't have to have that kind of diagnosis other than if you want insurance coverage, which doesn't do a lot of good. So, don't go hopeless. Don't decide anything and just find the appropriate person or people or systems to work for that will work for you. That's all.
Yeah, I think you said it, Mark. It helps you to focus in. So now you have a focus. And again, a lot of people are in your shoes there. Let's see. Somebody's asking about the vibration plates. How do you feel about those vibration plates, Mark?
I like them a lot. Yeah, I like them a lot. And one of my clients is one of the co-owners of Zazz, which is a vibration plate. And she's had a lot of lymphatic problems, serious ones, cellulitis that would almost destroy most people. That's what got her involved in them. So I've seen vibration plates do a lot of good, because obviously I talk about lymph moving by mechanical forces. I think they're great. I think you have to be hydrated, you have to be pooping and peeing, you have to do all those things. And then you have to choose the intensity that you do it and the frequency. So
yeah.
If people decide to hop on and think that that's going to solve it, in many cases they're already congested, and that's going to probably move stuff to it depends on the person. It's going to maybe move something to a congested area. So it would be a really good idea to do whatever you can do to open those areas first and use the vibration plates for a minimal amount of time and see how your body responds.
I'll tell you, I went, gets
the body moving. Go ahead.
Yeah, yeah. Those are so powerful and amazing. I did one, Pizzazz, actually, and I felt fantastic, and then I felt horrible by the end of the night because everything you just said there wasn't eliminating properly, wasn't hydrated enough, didn't have enough electrolytes to move everything. So it's not a powerful plate,
it's about where your body is. Yeah, it's a great tool.
No, I know. It's a powerful tool, but you have to have all these, the hydration piece down, like you always say. She's also mm-hmm. asking about a product that goes under your arm that liquefies lymph. I mean, I'm not sure
I know the product, and again, I'm going to say the problem is that when you look at even their website, they're talking about all these. Everybody has testimonials. You can't sell a product without it. Again, I'm going to want people mm-hmm. to do all the same preparation they would for a vibration plate, a Zazz, any of those things, because it doesn't matter how you move it. Yes, it's powerful to move it. You can move it with movement, with dance, with vibration, with the lymph rollers. Those all work, and if you have, by definition, have a problem, you better clean out the other stuff we've already talked about first so that you don't feel like something backs up, because it could do that. And it's not the problem of the device or the treatment. It's the congestion that's pre-existing in your body.
That's right. I think a lot of these lymph deodorant kind of things, I think they have castor oil. And castor oil is so great for moving lymph, but as you just said,
it is.
It's not just one thing, right? Make sure everything is, channels are open. Now someone's asking about, she's planning on doing Lyme stop treatment and looks like Wyoming. She's got all the typical issues. How can I best prepare for this treatment? I mean, it's pretty much everything we just said.
We've already said it.
Yeah, I'm almost certain that the Lyme stop people are going to address the detox. They can't not, of course. They'll make sure that you are binding and eliminating properly. Nikki's asking about psyllium husk is the only thing that gets my bowels moving. I read that it's not to be consumed regularly, being high in phytates and strips the body of minerals. Is that true? I'm only consuming 1 to 1.5 teaspoons a day. I wouldn't think it's a problem, but
I wouldn't either. And I want to know how. I mean, I just had a person the other day who goes to the bathroom once every 6 or 7 days, and then they're doing things like psyllium. And I'm like, you can't do that. When you have a history of constipation, or if you have anorexia or bulimia, if you've had GI problems of any kind, rehabilitate your gut before you add something like psyllium in. It's going to take a while to make your gut healthier so that the psyllium does its job. It's not, don't blame it on the psyllium. Look at your history. Make sure your gut's working.
Well, the psyllium is really powerful, and it can be a little bit abrasive for some people. I prefer chia.
Mm-hmm.
I think chia, if it works for you, is really soothing and can move things out in small amounts. Everybody has to titrate. But her question was about this phytic acid, and where I go with that, phytic acid, it's the paleo,
mm-hmm.
philosophy, the phytic acid binding to certain minerals, but if it's actually helping her to eliminate, it's actually supporting her in absorbing minerals. So, it's never just one thing. So if this is supportive of you eliminating, 1,000% use it. And if I were you, maybe switch up a little bit, try chia if you can, or try different brands. Can be a good idea. Hillary's asking
I would
about
also say
carbs.
You and I you and I found that if people soak the chia,
things,
I would tell you never just stick it in a glass of water and drink it down.
No, it's a must.
No,
you'll
do much better. Yeah.
Yes, hydrating those seeds is everything, because then they're hydrophilic and they're very gentle and they're hydrating to your system. Hillary's asking about carbs. Help, what about carbs? With candida as a layered problem, my doc suggests I go very light on carbs, but I'd be interested in hearing your thoughts. I mean, for me, carbs are breads, polysaccharides, starches like breads and pastas and rice and grains. To me, those are the things, in my opinion, that produce candida, and also certain kinds of dairy, I think. I don't believe, this is from my experience, that fruit has anything to do with causing candida in small amounts, because if you're eating it the right way. Dr. Klinger, I'm bringing him up a lot today. He's really in my field. He's like, everybody wants to tell me that candida is caused by sugar, too much sugar. He's like, it's the immune system, not the sugar. But we know that in these foods that ferment, like if you're not digesting grains, for example, it will ferment, and then that feeds the candida. So if you're eating fruit in a way that is totally absorbable, it's a different kind of sugar, monosaccharide, very easily digested, you shouldn't have any problems. But if you're having candida, I would avoid, the grains and the dairy, which I'm sure you are already. 5 minutes. Ooh, wow.
Are people wanting to do any call, Q&A? I'm available.
Okay. How about, Brent, how would they ask a question at this point about anything we've talked about? Okay.
If you want to jump on, talk about something we talked about, or ask any other questions, press 2 on your phone, and you'll raise your hand, and we can bring you on live with us. That's the number 2.
Just 2, that's it. Okay, press 2 to ask us a question. Let's see, Brent, you signal me if there's someone coming on. Okay, cool. A little shy group lately. Questions or comments are always welcome. Comments fine too. So, if we don't have anybody raising their hand, I just want to say thank you, and I just want to end with something that's really been on my mind a lot lately, and that is what it means to be resilient. I feel like we have been dealing with illness for a long, long time, many of us, and I see a lot of the world around starting to feel the effects of the environmental breakdown. And we've kind of had a head start. It's like we can actually help people to understand how to clean up their lives. That's one piece. But resilience, what does resilience mean? It really means finding balance every day. And we are in a very stressful time, and we're dealing with a chronic illness. Dealing with stress in our lives with chronic illness is incredibly difficult. So it's about finding balance every day. And really what that looks like is, how are you handling stress? And I just want to offer something that I'm really, a hummingbird just flew into my window, into the flower. Wow. Handling stress is really probably the most key piece you can do for your health and your resilience. And what I've been doing is, when there's a problem in front of me, a problem or a symptom that's really flared, are you believing in that problem or that symptom, or are you believing in the process in life? Everything is in process. Everything takes time. So don't shrink your thinking and your belief into this problem. Look at it as part of a bigger process. And I think it just opens up more space And I think it's a way for us to get our energy back. And this is stuff that we talk about a lot in our program. So I just want to leave you with that. And if, Mark, you have anything more to say, I don't think we have any hands up. So if there's any...
No, I don't.
...thing you want to end with, okay. Well, we're going to do another call with you, Mark. So if that burning question didn't get answered today, you can always ask it inside the program. Brent, there's a link to join us for the next 3 weeks on this
and
call
pretty
recording.
Yeah, call recording, every email we've pretty much sent you guys this past week. So join us there. And we'd love to see you inside. Get with the group, get with the love, get with the connection. It's really just such a beautiful thing you put together, Dana.
This is it's a very sweet, sweet program. And just a reminder that you own the program and you can go back to it at any time. But we'd love to get to know you. That's the best part. So have a beautiful day. Wow, we did this just an hour. Perfect. Thank you, Brent, so much. Thank you for always being here and being such a valuable part of these programs. And, Mark, you're the best. So we'll talk to you again in probably a week or so. So thank you so
Dana.
Much.
Thank you, Brent. Bye.
Okay, guys.
Great.
All right,
bye.
Everyone. Have a great day. Okay.